Melanie, I think it is. Is it Melanie? Good to have her back with us. It's been a while away. If you have your Bibles, I hope you bring your Bible to church. That's what it's all about. It's not the mess hall. It's not the cafeteria. It's the house of God, and we want to make sure that we look into that Word of God and that we confirm the words that are written. The book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, and beginning at verse number 13. Here Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits shall you know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus, I thank you today for your presence. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I'm asking God that you anoint my mind and my thoughts and my words today. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what it is, God, that you have for us today. We're quick to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's in the seventh chapter of the book of Matthew, where it was Jesus who made one of the most profound statements ever to be recorded in the history of his teaching. For it was in the book of Matthew chapter 7, as Jesus was bringing his Sermon of the Mount to a close, that he, Jesus, took the time to commission those who were before him to enter in at the straight gate. As Jesus went on to declare, for wide was the gate and broad was the way that leadeth to destruction. Jesus then said, many, many will be, there will be, which go in thereat. It is this afternoon that I want to preach to you for the next while on a subject that I have titled, Beware of the Broadway. Beware of the Broadway. Ever since the time that Adam and Eve were lured into their partaking of the forbidden fruit that was in the midst of the Garden of Eden, and continuing on today, just like Adam and Eve, it is said to be true and yet sad to say how that there are and have been countless souls who ended up being they who are and who were deceived in their lives, and they ended up following and going after what the Bible refers to as the broad way. Meaning people's choice in choosing which path to follow are they who on a daily basis choose the paths of sin rather than that of the straight and the narrow way, the one which God calls for those who in their lives should choose, if it is they who will and are wanting to follow after him. The Broadway beckons you. The Broadway calls after you. The Broadway presents a very wide path, and it presents a very opportunist looking way to go. But the straight and the narrow, that's the one that kind of constricts, and that's the one that kind of cordons you off and kind of sets a path that's straight before you. You find that it is Jesus who, throughout the four Gospels, who takes the time and who has taken the time to set forth guidelines that are and that will be required of those who in their lives, as I've already said, who choose the path that will be that which God calls for them or for us to follow him. He was very clear, and I believe that Jesus was very concise. He set it out like a process. He set it out like a step-by-step instruction. He showed us, he said, this I am well pleased with, and this I don't want. This you can allow in your life, and this is what you need to rid from your life. I want you to do this if you're going to follow me, if you're going to pursue after me on that straight and narrow way. I guess really what I'm saying is our path that leads us and will lead us as a people to where it is that Jesus wants us to be throughout the entire New Testament has been clearly mapped out. If you've ever taken a journey before the days of GPS, you would have opened up a map and you would have looked it up and you would have charted the cutoffs and the turnoffs and the interstate exchanges and the different highways and their little subsidiary highways that you'd get on to go where? To get to your direction, to get to where your destination, pardon me, to where it is that you wanted to go. And Jesus did the same thing. He didn't just leave us in the blind and say, I hope to see you there, and I really hope that you make it. But he mapped it out very clearly, very concisely. This is how you're going to get from where you are today to where I want you to be on that day. When we reflect back for just a moment, back to where in the garden on that day that Eve and the serpent had talked, what it is that you'll come to understand is that it was Eve who became all but mesmerized by all the apparent promises that would befall her once it was she who partook of the forbidden fruit that God had warned them of not to partake of. God said, you can do whatever you want in this garden. You can go wherever you please in this garden. You can eat what you want. You can stay in bed all day. And some of us say, hallelujah. And I know summer's coming and school's almost over. You can do what you want, but don't touch the fruit of that forbidden tree. Don't touch that fruit, because in the day you eat it, you're going to die. And it was there that the serpent, through his deception, used to rouse Eve's desire for what? For greater wisdom and understanding, as well as the thought of attaining a level and a power that God himself had. You need to listen to me. You don't know what you're missing. And as a result, it was what became where an Eve in a moment of temptation who chose to block out of her mind the fear of any consequence. Just consider it. Just think about what you could have, what you will be. I'm telling you, it's just a bite away. It's just a moment. It's a choice that you got to choose. Yea, hath God said. I mean, what's the harm, you know? Just what really is going to happen if you partake of it? Thinking of these thoughts, maybe that rushing through her mind as the words from that serpent was speaking to her, I want to tell you today that Eve's fatal attraction to that forbidden fruit came in three basic forms. Forms known as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And concerns to humanity today, when anytime a person is attracted to the paths of the broad way, you can rest assured that one, if not all, the three of these fatal ingredients will be involved. They're going to be there. People's desire to want, their desire to possess, and in the realm of people's carnal thinking, believing that if I could only attain that which I'm after, well, everything would be so much better. But my question for you to consider today is this. Would it be? Is it? Is that really so? If I could just do what I want, you know? If I could just have what I want. If I could attain that which I seek. Throughout the Bible, in both the Old and the New Testaments, you'll find story after story and account after account that reveals mankind's greatest weakness, our greatest weakness. That's okay, babies cry. Throughout history, you'll find our greatest weakness, people's greatest weakness. You know what that weakness is? That weakness is our flesh. I want it. I don't want to do that. I can tell you today, I can promise you that I am prophetically correct in the statement. Everybody loves the paycheck, but very few want to be the ones to have to do the work to get it. Everybody likes the pleasureful. Nobody wants to do the tasks and the pushing in order to get to the pleasure, to make what it is you need to get there. As an example, I'm going to use this afternoon the story of Abraham and Lot, as is found in the book of Genesis chapter 13. Genesis, the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 13, and you'll find down in verse number 10, the Bible says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes, and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before." Did you catch that? Before. He looked at that plain and thought, "Ho, man, the work is done. The fun is to be had. Everything's set and everything is ready to go." I can't believe this. I mean, it's like luck has bestowed itself upon me. Luck has fallen upon my lot. Look at that. But the Bible goes on and says, before. Everybody say, before. Look at your neighbor and say, before. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even the garden, as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou cometh to Zoar. That was before. He looked at that and thought, what a great thing. What an awesome opportunity to have. I mean, this is good stuff. This is what I've been looking for. This is how I've been searching to find. You know, here it is. I have arrived. No work. Hey, it's all well watered. It looks like a beautiful plain. And I want to tell you today, I for one do not believe that Lot for one moment considered what possible forms of darkness or sin could be lurking or going on in those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible talks about how that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in the book of Genesis 13 were wicked, and the people were evil, and they were vexed within themselves, and they did not hold back their wickedness before God. I don't think he said, you know what, maybe I should check it out. Maybe I should make sure before I head this way. Maybe I should stop and have a look or two at what's going on in that city. But I don't think he thought that at all. As soon as he saw it, what did he do? Instead, he saw it. Then he desired to possess that land that was before him. And as a result, he seized his chance of going that way. Sometimes things can look so good to us in this life. A job or a position or maybe moving to a certain place. You know, ain't no church there, don't matter. I'm making all kinds of money. It doesn't really matter. It looks so good. Everything, all my pleasures will be had. As a young man growing up, oftentimes I thought about going to the Caribbean and all these faraway, beautiful, luxurious places where it's hot and there's palm trees and white sandy beaches and everything. But oh, nobody told me about the snakes and the spiders. Nobody told me about the poisonous plants and all these things. And nobody said, well, why they put these walls in some of these countries out front of their houses with a bunch of holes in them so the snakes will go into the holes instead of to the houses. Nobody told me about that stuff. I only heard about the white sandy beaches. Nobody told me about the sharks. Nobody told me about being killed. Nobody told me that was there. I always thought it was pleasure and it was beautiful. And Lot, he just wanted to get there because it looked so good. But you know, as the story goes in the book of Genesis, it wasn't long before Lot and his family on that broad way, they suffered their consequence. It wasn't long before when they got into that town, they realized, wait a minute, we ought not to be here. Oh my goodness, do you see what's going on in this city? Do you see the people, how waxen gross their heart is? How evil this city really is, these cities that I thought that, you know, I mean, it looked good. I don't want you to forget that thought. It looks good on the broad way. But if you were to look at the book of 2 Peter, all the way to the other side, folks, 2 Peter. Let's have a look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Let's look at verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. After should live ungodly. Here's verse 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. You know, I can go to where in a smoke-filled room and not touch a cigarette. It won't bother me. But you walk out of that room, you're going to stink. I can go to this thing and I can do that and it won't affect me. Let me say, if you hang around people and maybe at the schoolhouse, maybe you get it more, even on the job sites, you know, people use foul words and foul language and, you know, I don't swear and I don't say bad words. But lo and behold, something happens and the flint lights your little anger spot. And suddenly, out of your mouth, where did that come from? What happened to Lot? He was in that, and his soul was vexed. He was vexed by that filthy conversation of the wicked. But yes, you know what? Let's look at the positive side. Lot did achieve the possession of the well-watered plains of Jordan. Yeah, he did. Surely he basked in the riches of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, but the point I want to make today is this, the fact that Lot did not enjoy it for long before the consequences of the broad way came. I went to have fun. I went because it looked good. I didn't realize that before I entered into those cities that who was there and what was going on. And now the fun is over. You know what? When I get old enough, I used to say this when I was a kid. Thank God that was B.C. I can't wait till I get into the bars and drink like my mom and dad. I can't wait until I hang out with the wrong crowd and do the drugs. And today, you know what? You don't want to smoke? Just vape it. Man, be a vapor. Iser. Anyhow, you know, and we use those when you're sick, vaporizers. But let's vape it. Let's get out there and do what we want. Doesn't it sound fun? Sounds great. You can do all this. But I didn't realize that lung cancer and diseases and emphysema and asthma and all these other things strike as a result. Nobody told me about that. I only heard about the Broadway. Could you imagine? Go with me. I got a wild imagination, but just go with me, if you would, for just a couple of minutes in that thought of Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, you know, Lot, he just took off his way. And he went down the road, and that was all good. And there him and Sarah, they stood. And, you know, they were looking over the land of Jordan. And Sarah, she just looks over at Abraham, seeing that Lot and his family had already gone. She says, Abraham, just look at those barren mountains and that dry valley before us. Yes, Sarah, but remember this, it is God who is and who will go before us as we journey to where God wants us to be. I'm not going to give you some phony trail, but it's no doubt that Abraham and Sarah and those that were with him, they didn't have everything handed to them on a silver platter, but through whatever it was that Abraham went through in his life, God was still at his side. God was the one that was ordering his steps. God was the one that was mowing the way before him, making that straight path. It was God. You know what? I didn't get to enjoy the pleasures of the wicked for just a season, but I'm enjoying what God is doing in my life. Oh yeah, you got your little burnt knees, you know, you got your headache, you got your problems, you got your maybe financial difficulties. But you know what you got that others in this world don't have? You've got God. I want to fast forward very quickly to the New Testament when we read of the greedy and the greed and the lust for money, the apparent power with the rulers we find that caused Judas, one of the 12 disciples, to betray Jesus into the hands of the Roman government. Think of this, 30 pieces of silver. Money! Come on, guys. Matthew chapter 26. Would you turn there with me to the book of Matthew chapter 26? Money. Power. I can get it, buy it, possess it, acquire it with my money. Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16. The Bible says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests. And he said unto them, what will you give me, and I'll deliver him into your, deliver him unto you? And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, Judas sought his opportunity to betray Jesus to them. It was in this example that Judas was desirous of selfish gain. What's in it for me? If I could get my hands on money, I'll have power with men, and sure enough, I'll have it all right. But that's only until the money is gone. Or maybe the guilt through which you gained your money brings you down. In the book of Mark, chapter 8, and verse 36, Jesus asks, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I can get it. I can acquire it. I can have it. I remember in my life, right up to the age of 22, before the church, I remember many a time I had buddies as long as I had the bucks, or the booze, or the drugs, or even the smokes. They hung out with me just like flies to the honey. But when that was dry, my friend, it was gone. If I only had money, if I could only buy and possess all that I wanted, life would be so grand. You know that? Do you believe that? No, it wouldn't, because that mindset of the Broadway, that's a mindset, friends, of the Broadway. And while I'm at it, let me say this. I want you to hear this, young people, church, friends. If money, if prestige and power in this life is what had it, then why is it that many rich men and women in and during their lives, they only end up by seeing their lives destroyed? If that's it, if that's where it's at, getting and owning and possessing and having, if I could just beat, you know, the Smiths and the Joneses, if I could just be better than them, if I could make an extra buck, I'd have it. Really? The Apostle Paul writes in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 10 through 11. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. What are they saying? What's he saying? Beware of the broad way. Because if the truth were told, if we as a people could have, if we could afford, if whatever it is that we wanted or desired, I wonder just how many of us even that are here today would still be hanging on to their faith in God. How many would you want it? What do I need God for? Money tree. I got all I want. What do I need God for? What do I need to pray for? Why would I ask God for faith in Him? I already got it. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 10. Here's a sad, sad story, ladies and gentlemen. The sad story of a man by the name of Demas. In 2 Timothy, chapter 4 and first portion of verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Think of Demas. He was a disciple, and likely he was of God. He was probably baptized in Jesus' name, most likely filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But according to the Scriptures, he was drawn away from the promise that he had in God because of his being led away by the allurements of this world's temporal, sinful pleasures. He loved this world more than he loved God. You see, to they who choose to wander in this world, allowing their gaze to be set upon the flashing lights and the mirage which for a time offers to them its brightness, to the unsuspecting soul who chooses the broad way, what really awaits them, folks, is this: nothing shy of darkness, emptiness, and a lonely death upon one of its highways. The broad way. It's the broad way. Hear me now. Drugs, booze, carefree lifestyle, open borders. No boundaries await you on the Broadway. Yeah. Oh, man, I can't wait to get on that Broadway. Yeah, well, so with that, so do the traps, so do the addictions, so does the disillusionment, along with the disappointment, as well as the brokenness and the pain that comes along with it. When I was first tempted, I think it was about 14 years old, to try a cigarette, thank God it was many years ago. Oh, my goodness. I watched these people at the gas station. I'm paying for my gas, and they're ahead of me, and they're buying cigarettes, $12, $13. I think one was even $15 a package. But I was tempted, you know, man, just take a puff, and I'd cough, and I'd spit, and I'd turn blue and think I was going to pass out, and my head would become dizzy. I didn't know that down the road, just keep doing that a few more times, just sucking that stuff into your... I didn't know that I'd be addicted to cigarettes to the point in my day of 2.5 packs a day. I didn't know that. They didn't tell me. You know, nobody told me when I went to the party and we tilted that big wine bottle or drank that hard liquor that, you know, you lose everything inside of your guts and then you get hungry for that taste of liquor. Nobody told me. Nobody told me about the traps on the Broadway. I heard about the fun. No borders. Hey, you know what? You got rules at home. Get on your own. Get on that Broadway. No borders. No carefree life. Do what you want. Yeah, sure. Wrong. The Broadway that I'm talking to you about this afternoon is one that's filled with its glitter and its glamour. The Broadway offers countless empty promises and benefits that guarantees to provide. But truly, the reality of the Broadway is that in view of the untold false opportunities of happiness and success, it's the unsuspecting souls who choose to venture down its path, are they who many a time never are able to escape the snare once they do. I went down that way. We have a prayer going on for people right now that were on that Broadway. Overdose victims in hospitals on life support. People whose minds have been blown away by their drug, not able to escape. We have all these different society places where people can go who are addicted to alcohol and to drugs, who have had allowed their walk to take them down that broad way. To many of our young people today, and I'm talking to young people, and there you are, just go ahead, don't do this. Many of our young people today, they accept without their checking out first, the offer of one day to arrive on the streets of Broadway. Oh, you are under such a task of your parents and forced to come to church. Oh, my goodness. Come on with us. Come on down the road. Oh, wow. I never seen such flash and glitter. And it never looked so good. Yeah, on the Broadway. It almost sounds too good to be true. And what it is that young people in their innocence none too soon come to discover is the fact, instead of their being the ones to finally arrive, the consequences of their decision to throw all caution to the wind and view their warning of consequence are they who end up being the ones who wake up to the reality that they've been lied to and they've been deceived by all that the Broadway had promised them, and the shell of that soul in the path of sin and its power to destroy what it leaves them behind with. All too often, there's no man, really. It's often only God who can regain them from the path of the broad way. I was young one time. I thought it was fun on that broad way. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I wish I was. I wish I had the chance to experience what a lot of our young people today have to experience. I wish I never had to have a an abusive father and an alcoholic mother. I wish I never had to live in that realm and that life. I wish I didn't have to wake up in the mornings and not know whether my mom was going to be there or my dad. I was never really with him anyhow. I would go stay with him. And I didn't know if I was going to get smacked or hugged. I didn't know whether I could expect help or I'd have to flee. I wish I could have had the chance to be raised in a Christian home and where mom and dad, you know, they're not cussing and swearing. They're not drinking and carousing. I had friends of mine that used to scavenge the garbage cans for food when they were my age, when I was a young man. Oh, but the Broadway, guys. The Broadway. The Broadway. And maybe God, if he catches them before it's too late, is the only one who can revive them. I want you to know that salvation, my friends, is a beautiful experience. It is a beautiful experience. Money can't buy this. What we feel in church when we worship God, when we feel forgiven, when we feel that power that comes to us after being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, when we experience heavenly things, that is a beautiful experience. But woe to the ones who after a time on that straight and narrow, listen to this. I've been living for God for 37 years now. Time to back it off, slack down, let it go. Woe to them who, on the straight and narrow path, those who in the lives who instead now become they who foolishly consider stepping out on the paths of the Broadway. You know, by once having tasted these heavenly things, you know, that Broadway, if you go back, is that which will destroy you. But you miss it, guys. Come on. Been in the church a long time. I'm smarter now. I think I can play with it and get away with it. Watch. I'm still hanging on. One foot in the world, one in the church. Don't worry about it. For just a few moments, if you do not mind, I want to direct my comments to the blood-bought and to the blood-washed, to those who have been baptized in Jesus' name and who are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. In the book of 2 Peter, if you would take the time to turn there with me. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter and chapter 3. See, it's Peter who declares in his epistle, "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." A second letter. So what I'm saying to you all is this. To all of you who embraced forever how long in your lives God's plan of salvation, I want you to know that you're not really where you are, where you desire to be with God, until it's you who's literally walking on the streets of gold. During that time, until such a time it is, will be your adversary, the devil, the Bible says, is a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour. I think that's 1 Peter 5 and 8. I'm not there yet, but on my path. Who put that there? How did that get there? Who's calling me? From that darkness over there, I wonder who it is. I wouldn't go to find out. As a people of God, we could never allow ourselves, should never allow ourselves to get to where we in our lives let our guard down, to where we begin to play with and to toy with the thought of the idea we could begin to slowly and carelessly start to entertain once again that old life, those old ways, with the thought of you're now being smarter, as I've already said. This time I can play my cards right. This time that Broadway won't catch me like it had before, but that Broadway will destroy you, and the lies of the devil may forever deceive you, and you might just come running back to the altar with a desire to once again pray through to God. But what you'll find out, I want you to listen to me, child of God, don't ever think that you can go around playing with the fires that burn on that Broadway, believing that you, my friend, will never get burnt. I'm smarter now. I think I can do this. And I watch people, and it's, you know what the Bible says? It's the little foxes, pardon me, that spoil the vine. I watch people, and it's just this little thing, and it's that little thing, and then it becomes, well, that's not really necessary, and that's just tradition, and I don't have to follow up. That's okay. I'll just keep drifting. Before long, before you know it, the tide had gone out, and you'd follow it out there as well. In the book of Luke, chapter 21, hear the preacher's heart today, folks. Beware of the Broadway. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 and 35. You find it's where Jesus, the one who warns us to take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare, Jesus says, shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. You see, the cause and effect of the Broadway is that will ultimately, for you and for your soul, prove to be fatal. That's why I felt it was important, as God impressed this upon my mind, to take the time today to admonish you, both young people and old folks, both saved folks, and if you're unsaved at this present time, to beware. Beware of the Broadway, the way that through its vices and lies that will lead you further away from God rather than close to Him. It's the Broadway which offers to those who in their lives who choose to venture upon its roads an eternity without God. And a life in that due time will become one consumed with the sins of your flesh, because you can't get down that Broadway without succumbing to harm. The adversary is the one who patiently waits for you. He beckons to you. For those whose foolish fleshly desires, their careless curiosity, they visit, they begin to venture down that Broadway. I've seen young people, it's been a shock to me where people in the last 20 years, young people in this church, young people that would cry at the altars, young people that were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, young people, it has shocked me how that they get to a certain age and here comes that beckoning cry and here comes the offer to the Broadway. And you know, this is what you need to do, and this is what you know, get away from that God stuff and get away from church. And now a lot of them are serving us in different establishments and retail places, and so-and-so just got pregnant, and so-and-so, well, he's addicted to drugs, and so-and-so, and I'm hearing all these stories, and it's such peril. And you know what? Sometimes it's so hard for them to get away from that Broadway. Sometimes they don't realize that all they've got to do is fall upon their knees and repent. I talked about that this morning. All they've got to do is bask in that presence of God and say, God, I want you to forgive me. I want that blood to be applied to my life once and for all, God. I want to get off that Broadway. Do they need to grow up as alcoholics, single parent homes? Do they need to grow up empty and lonely? No, get off the Broadway and turn your life back to that straight and that narrow. Enter ye in at the straight gate, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. I believe really that the reason that God placed this message thought upon my mind, for one reason, because the days are growing darker as the church world becomes more and more looking for ways to weaken and to dismantle the old landmarks. The ones that had preserved us thus far. Landmarks, parameters, borders. My belief is that if we as a people of God, as you as a child of God, do not take heed to the dangers that lurk on the roads of the Broadway, in time it could be you who find yourself having turned from the straight and narrow road you started, only to succumb to the temptations and what's waiting for you to embrace them on that darkened, foreboding road, that forbidden road, that which will take away from you your eternal crown. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 through 22. Bear with my heart, folks. The Broadway, beware. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 20, it's Jesus who declares, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Goes on to say, "To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." It's not who ventures to the roads of the Broadway who wins, but it's those who, when they're living their lives for God as a choice, but they're sacrificing for their salvation, they're the ones who are on that straight and narrow way. They're the ones who choose to do it, choose to give, choose to sacrifice. If only you were out there today. You know what you could have today? You have no idea. Just look. I want you to look right now. Hey, they're doing it. Others are doing it. They've been doing it for years. Come on, walk with me together. Let's explore the new heights and depths that we've missed for years. Where? Well, on the Broadway. It's harmless. Come on. What are you waiting for? The Broadway beckons us. But as these voices come and enter into your minds, as the thoughts that you listen to out there, listen to the voice of this shepherd. Beware of the Broadway. As I turned a corner, of late, I just, for myself, I witnessed the process of some who at one time stood strong and whose directive was set upon that straight and narrow. Those who now, one pillar at a time, have been and are they who have been removing the old landmarks, the ones that kept us and has kept them at one time safe. The Broadway is easier. The Broadway caters to your flesh and its desire, but it's the Broadway that will lead your soul to that path of destruction, one that you may never return from, as I've already said. Once your steps are on there, friend, the escalator starts to move. Many Christians today are going to be eternally devastated when it's they who come to discover in their life that they lived for Christ, the conclusion to that earthly existence for them will be one they'll eternally forever regret. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and thy name had done many wonderful works? And I'll profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, that work iniquity." I want you all that are here to listen to these words. Let this message come very clear. Young person, you're playing with it. You're considering it. It's out there. It's beckoning. It's offering you all of its fun. But don't be an Abner. Don't be an Abner and die as a fool. In the Old Testament times, very quickly, when somebody took another person's life and not being deliberate, like murdered, but they accidentally killed them, they had a chance to flee to the city of refuge in order for them to stay away from the judgment of their avenger, maybe a brother or a family member or a friend who came to equal the score. And as long as they stayed in that city, the city of refuge, until the death of the high priest, at which time they could walk away free. The story of Abner is found in the book of 2 Samuel, if you turn there one last time. 2 Samuel chapter 3. Second Samuel. In chapter 3. Second Samuel chapter 3. You'll find that story of Abner. Abner, in a foolish moment, he kills a young man by the name of Asahel. Asahel had a brother whose name was Joab, and in accidentally killing him and thrusting a sword into this young man, Abner did as the Bible said. He took off and he made his way to that city of refuge. And yet the brother of Asahel, he's the one, the avenger, he talked Abner to come out from his place of safety. You know, come on, aren't we friends? There's the devil for you, kids. Saints, hey, come on, remember me? Hey, do I look harmless? Come on. And so Abner Abner figuring, you know, it's been a long time and surely Joab would have forgiven him and everything was going to be okay. And so he talked Abner out of the place of his safety. They get you out of the church. They talk you away from the sanctuary. They take you out of the protection of your family. They get you out into that world and ugliness and darkness and even sometimes death befalls you. Oh, Abner, come on out. Let's be buds. I know he's gone. Everything's okay. Buddy. But the Bible says as they spoke outside of that city that Joab smote Abner under the fifth rib that he died. And I want to bring your attention to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 33. This is what the King David said about Abner. 2 Samuel 3:33, the Bible declares how that the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner. As a fool dieth. Died Abner as a fool. Why did you go out there? Did you think you were going to gain stuff? Oh, I got friends and I was at a party and I don't remember what happened, but I woke up and I wasn't wearing anything. I didn't realize that I was laying on the side of the gutter. They pushed me out of the car in front of the hospital. Thank God. Thank God they saved my soul, but I can't think anymore. And my mind's all twisted and gone because the drugs I was taking. And oh, the fun life. Come on, guys. Beware the Broadway. Quoting the words of Joshua, as recorded in the book of Joshua 24, verse 15. Choose you this day. Choose. Think about that. Choice is my choice. You chose your religion. I'm going to choose mine. You chose your path. Let me choose mine. Yeah, Joshua says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Choose to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, not for me. My final question to you this day is, what path in life will you take, the straight, narrow, or the broad? As for me and my house, I will choose that same declaration as we stand together. It's found in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. This is the Apostle Paul. This was his declaration. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If your life has found you or is trying to draw you to the Broadway, what you need to do is stop and realize that those aren't really flashing signs of plenty and promise. They're signs of warning to beware, to turn around. Young person, you never have to become an alcoholic and go to Alcoholic Anonymous. You never have to go to a detox center to get those drugs out of your body. Young person, friends, today you don't have to visit the single planning parent home. You don't have to worry about abortions if you live your life for God. Choose that straight and narrow. Oh, but I've got to pray and I've got to go to church and I got to be honorable and honest. That's the better way. That's going to lead you to those streets of glory. You see, it is the straight and narrow that God calls for us. He says, choose today that straight and narrow. Choose to follow me. I'll take you to life and get you away from death. The road called straight and narrow will cost you down here, but eternally it'll bless you up there. I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe I'm talking to every one of you. I know some I'm talking to. Beware of the Broadway. Don't kid yourself.
To what I could not,
it will destroy you.
Understand.
Once talking in tongues and basking in an altar before God.
I have spent my days believing.
Hiding in a detox center, sitting in a prison cell.
What it have we been?
I got caught on the Broadway. I want to open this altar today, and everybody who can, I want you to come. Because maybe you've been considering the Broadway. Maybe you're on that Broadway and you think you're going to be smarter than the rest.
His grace is what I
maybe you've been in the church for a while and you want to start letting things go and dropping just little landmarks, you know, you used to hang on to. You used to be faithful to prayer. You used to be on time.
Said no.
Why don't you come?
I'm not going to let
you. I don't know what you're waiting
go.
For. I'm talking right to
I'm
you and you're not listening.
Let you slip away.
You need to find your prophet
at
an altar. You need to ask God to forgive you.
Mercy said no.
devil's going to destroy you. He's going to laugh in your face when he does.
Life and death stood face to face.
Beware.
Has tried to steal
Son of God, don't think you can sin.
Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no.
Mercy's called,
Mercy said no.